Presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And this is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we've got ourselves a loaded show for you here today. Tommy Gregg, matter of fact, we actually have a pre-recorded interview that we did late yesterday with Tommy Gregg. He'll be joining us here in just a bit, plus an Aberdeen Wings Weekly on the program as well. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing today, man?
Doing excellent. No complaints over here. And Tommy Gregg, of course, big Minnesota Twins fan. We get into a little Twins conversation with him. And as we get to the jump here, we just got a couple minutes of live talk with us. The Twins last night, the numbers, not kind. Not only do they lose to the Mets 5-1, but nobody's there. And we're hitting that panic button, I think, right now.
Minnesota Twins announced yesterday, Tukes, 10,240 was the total attendance, the lowest attendance in the history of Target Field, aside from COVID-impacted seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty bad, man. I mean, we're 17 games into the season, and we're dealing with this already. Really?
Yeah, this is not like the dead of
July.
August, yeah, or July, where it's 104 degrees outside and high humidity. No, we're talking April. Now, truth be told, April, it's not necessarily great weather anyway. But the flip side of that is, did you see what happened in San Diego yesterday? Now, granted, San Diego a little bit different than Minneapolis in August, or in April, I should say. But yesterday, 47,078 people, third largest crowd in Petco Park history. So, now, granted, both of those teams are going two different ways, but I mean, the community support right now, not very good for the Twins, and, you know, the product on the field is probably the reason why.
Well, you think Tommy Gregg was there yesterday, and he was part of the 10,240?
I don't think so. I don't think Tommy was there yesterday. And I feel for him, I feel for the Twins fans, but they're back in action tonight. Looking forward to that at 6:40 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So that's on tap for tonight. Also on tap for today, we've got ourselves a loaded schedule. Northern State Baseball taking on SMSU for a twin bill over there at Fossum Field. Some softball action. Aberdeen Central, they're on the road. And Britton Hecla, they're hosting an invite for some golf action there as well. A lot of track and field going on here today with the Pork Chop Relays and North Central Relays, just to name a few. So looking forward to that. Plus Aberdeen Central and Aberdeen Roncalli football releasing their schedules yesterday. Typically don't see that happen in mid-April.
Yeah, early schedule release. Looked at the Central, what they got. First home game looks like it's against T, and they're playing Pier and T weeks 1 and 2 again, too. So I just think it's funny. It's every single year, and looking at their schedule, looks like Roncalli also an early start for them, August 22nd. They're versus Clarkville Lake at home, but they got to go on the road there for a while in September. So an interesting schedule there for them as well. So looking forward to both those seasons. It'll be here before you know it, man.
Very much the case. Looking forward to that indeed. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com. for full and complete details there. Tommy Gregg, he'll be joining us coming up next, plus an Aberdeen Wings Weekly that's coming up towards the back half of the show. That and much more on the Sports Hub right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on a Tuesday morning here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. We've got your Aberdeen Wings Weekly coming up here in just a bit. But first and foremost, time to bring in a friend of the program, Tommy Gregg. We call him Tommy Two Guns around these parts, and he joins us on the phone line. Coach, how are you this morning?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure for sure. Absolutely. And the Muskrats off to a good start here this season as the squad picked up a nice victory there over Sisseton Britton Webster on Saturday. Matt was actually on the call of that game. Good start for the season for you guys here. And what do you like about your squad so far for the 25 campaign?
Well, we're so young. That's the first part, because with our youth, you know, you just feel like you got some years where we're going to continue to get better. That's the first part is, you know, but with the youngness comes, you know, we're going to stub our toe from time to time because we're young and trying to learn on the fly. But, you know, just getting a new group of kids out there and expanding their roles. You know, last year we had Eli Morissette, and he kind of dominated for us every time he went out. So the kids knew, hey, when Eli's pitching, we can hang or, you know, play with about anybody. Now it's a little bit bigger cast, and there's a couple of kids that got their feet wet last year that were asking to be leaders. That's kind of the fun part.
Yeah, as mentioned earlier, did that game there on Saturday versus SBW, and you know, somebody who had a really nice game, Zastro. I mean, he had four RBIs in that game. He was 3 for 3, 2 runs. I mean, here's a guy in the middle of your lineup that really produced in that game. Are you expecting big things for him as the season moves along?
Yeah, he can swing it. You know, last year he had some ups and downs. You know, he'd go on a little bit of a heater for a couple of games, and then teams would pitch him certain ways, and then he'd struggle a little bit. But he's one of those guys, you know, he just gets going, and, you know, there's a reason why he's hitting .300. He's been off to a good start. And he's one of our leaders. We need him to do some things and be productive in the middle of that lineup. You know, we always feel like our guys are going to get on base and we're going to move them around, and he's going to have opportunities. And so far, the last two games, he's taken advantage of that.
I was just going to mention, you said he hits .300. Are you a manager that kind of changes the lineup a lot, or when you're hitting third or fourth or second at the beginning of the season, that's kind of where you're at the end of the season? How do you kind of work that?
With this crew, we'll mix it up some. It just kind of, I'm all right with going with the hot hand a little bit. You know, with high school baseball, you know, we like to have our better hitters at the top so we can maybe steal another at bat with them. I like to have the bottom of the lineup. I like putting a decent hitter at the 9-hole, kid that can swing it some. And so that those guys, you know, that come up at the top, they have people ahead of them. So there's kind of a theory there. But, you know, if we get in a groove and things are going right, we probably won't tinker much. You know, after the Northville game, you know, they kind of stuck it to us pretty good. You know, we revamped a few spots, moved some kids around. You know, it is early, and you know, we got some kids fighting for some time, so just kind of depends. But right now, it's something that can change from day to day.
Tommy Gregg joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and you said something in your first response I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm curious about it. You said you had guys kind of come to you a little bit to ask about being leaders. Is that kind of standard operating procedure for you guys with some young guys, like you mentioned, coming to you, or is it they're just kind of more vocal and they just kind of take it upon themselves to be leaders? Is that kind of normal, or is this a little bit different in the fact that you guys are so young and it's just kind of different leaders this year?
Yeah, we don't have a senior, you know, and so you know, we're kind of like, hey, juniors, you know, we want you guys to lead, you know. And then you got a, you know, like a Mike Zastro, who's a sophomore, but he hits .300 for us. You know, he's good average. You know, kids turn and look at him as a leader, I think sometimes when you got a young team like that, you got to let them know, like, hey, even though you're maybe not ready or young, you know, you feel like, oh, a senior is going to do it or a junior. Well, we don't got a ton of them. So, you know, it's kind of your guys' team to push a little bit. And that gets awkward at times for them because, you know, they're probably not thinking that. They just want to go out and get their three at-bats and, you know, do those types of things. But then you got to, hey, they might need to go get after a teammate who's maybe not hustling or pick a teammate up that, you know, had a bad play or something. So, yeah, you kind of, when you don't have a ton of upperclassmen with your underclassmen, you kind of got to fast-forward everything for them, the playing, the leading, all those types of things.
You know, I know you're a big Minnesota Twins fan, and we've talked about it multiple times on the program about hustling and legging out ground balls. It's been a problem for Carlos Correa already a couple times this season, but you mentioned it already. I get a sense that that's not a big problem at the high school level, at the Legion level, or is it?
No, I mean, I think you always got to run hard. You never know. Our outfield's a little rough just because of lack of rain and no snow cover. So it's kind of rough. And we had some kids Saturday that, you know, hit a single and they're doing their round at first and jogging back and the ball goes by the outfield and we're like, you should be in two. They both got to second, but we let them know, like, you got to be focused. You know, I think hustle's a focus thing, locked in. You never know. These guys are kids. So, you know, nothing's 100%, even in the pros. But, you know, we want our kids to run hard and play hard. With Correa, you know, I think there's a reason behind it. I don't know. I don't know if they're, you know, like last year with Buxton, it was if you hit it right at the guy, just get down the line. Don't hurt yourself. I kind of wonder if that's a deal with Correa because he's not overly quick for as athletic as he is.
Right.
So I feel like, and I don't know if the Twins will come out and say that to the media, but I feel like there's some of that going on with his, you know, both his heels having plantar fasciitis the past 2 years. Like, let's get him into the warm months where he's healthy and then go. But it's a tough look when you're making $30 million a year, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about it.
I want to talk about your pitching. I mean, Jackson Rood with a nice performance in the game versus SBW. You mentioned it to me before the game, pretty young guy, four innings. Didn't walk many guys, pitched to contact, defense was good, but four innings, pitched well there on Saturday. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, I've got a lot of young guys, really outside of Micah Zastro, Noah Johnson, and Chase Olden. I didn't have any of those guys on Legion throw for me when they came up and played last year. They were just position guys, so you know, a lot of it is relying on, you know, our teener coach, Bennett Osborne's an assistant, and Peyton Osborne and Brent, our assistants that see them a little more in the summers. Hey, what can this guy do? You know, and he's a strike. We have a lot of strike throwers. You know, we put a lot of pride in our defense. And, you know, we didn't have a first night out. But, you know, Jackson, I thought, did a nice job. He settled in after the first inning. And we were clean behind him, you know, and we're not a team that's going to blow it by you right now. So we, you know, our defense needs to be clean, and our pitchers got to throw strikes. And, you know, the last two games that we played this week, that happened. Our first game, you know, I thought Hunter Binger and actually Rood came in relief there. They threw strikes. We weren't clean defensively, and Northville definitely took advantage of that.
Once again, we're visiting with Tommy Gregg, Fox Sports Aberdeen, and we had Nathan Ganelli, head coach of the Smitties, on the program this last week, and they got 18 guys on their roster, and he said, hey, we got 18 pitchers. That's just kind of the way he is. And are you kind of different or similar in that regard to say, hey, sometimes I'm going to put some players out there that might not necessarily be that might not be their number one position, but they need to kind of learn it. How do you kind of approach something like that?
Well, you know, I think it kind of comes with your program and what you develop with your youth kids. I remember one time a dad asked me, you know, I was watching a youth game, you know, what do you think? And I said, you got to throw more younger guys, or more guys, more, excuse me. I said, I think we were pretty good that year in Legion. I said, we've thrown seven kids so far. And when the Legion State Tournament, it's a five-day deal, you're going through at least five, six. So yeah. I would agree with the Schmitty coach where you've got to have, you know, a ton of arms, but, you know, you're limited by what you got for kids, especially in a small town. I think we'd love to carry 18 bodies every year, but that's not the case. I think high school, we got a little bit more because, you know, we can grab the senior kids and the Legion kids and morph them in and take our top nine and put them out there. But then you might have a freshman that's a good arm or a junior or something. But in the summer, when you roster 12 kids a team, yeah, I mean, for Class B teams, I would say if you're playing 20, 30 games, you're going to have a majority of your squad throw a little bit, you know, so that's where you just hope you get some strike throwers and then you're just good defensively. And, you know, sometimes you just know when certain guys pitch, you gotta swing the sticks a little bit more and hope for the best.
When I talked to you on Saturday before the game, I asked you about kind of the high school outlook of the state, the game's growing, and you said to me, hey, it's kind of like a glorified spring training, but these games count. So it's kind of nice playing these games early spring. Yes, you're trying to work on some things, get ready for the Legion season when you transition to that, but these games definitely matter.
Yeah, you know, that was always I've been around 16 years in Redfield, and I believe it was high school baseball was going for at least about another 7-8 years before that. And that was like throwing around. I remember, you know, it was kind of our spring training, get the kids out there, get them playing, you know, and see what happens. But then all of a sudden you get a couple of good classes go through, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, shoot, we can get in the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
These guys can get to Sioux Falls. You can qualify. And all of a sudden the kids kind of start, oh, this is cool, you know. And I love Legion baseball. I played it. I don't think there's anything better. And I don't want to replace it by any means. I coach it. You know, my dad's a Legion member and over in Minnesota, and I'm a son's a Legion member in Redfield. So, but the biggest thing I hear kids talk about is, especially at Class B, is they feel like every game matters. You know, we go out and play football on Friday night. You know, you're trying to get into the playoffs. Basketball, same thing. High school baseball, they got the standings. You can see where you're at. You know, not every team in our region makes the playoffs. And like Legion, it's just everybody makes it, and then you kind of got a random draw. And then, you know, not to talk badly about it, but the kids are like, well, you just got to pick up and go at the region tournament then. Well, there's a lot more into it. But that's where I've seen a change in my period of time is the kids – high school baseball has kind of evolved a little bit, and they're like, oh, these all games mean something, even though if we would tab them as a, you know, a spring training type deal.
Yeah, we were talking the other day about May call-ups and June call-ups. That's kind of like what Legion is sort of kind of to a degree. It's like, well, you play the whole spring training, and then the next thing you know, you get into Legion ball. It's an interesting way of looking at it. I think you, Matt, Ryan were talking about it yesterday. I think it's a spot-on assessment that it's kind of like a spring training deal, and I think it's a cool way to look at it. Tommy Gregg joining us on FSA. So, okay, we got to talk about the Twins. They're off to a tough start here this season. Offensively, it's been kind of boom or bust. What have you seen from the Twins so far this season, or at least listen to it here on Fox Sports Aberdeen? I know you like to listen to a lot of games on FSA.
Yeah, I do, and it's awesome you guys carry them. I did buy Twins TV.
Okay.
My wife canceled our cable a couple years ago, and I don't think I talked to her for a week. I hope she's not listening, but she's probably not listening. But no, it's I got some buddies in Aberdeen. We got a little group chat, and it gets pretty funny sometimes, but they'd tell me what's going on. I follow on Twitter and stuff, but you know, I just not a huge fan of Major League Baseball right now with the style, the offensive style play. I think the pitching is so good that has changed how they play. But you take a small market team like the Minnesota Twins, they've got some talent. I was at that game two years ago where they clinched against the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. sold out. I mean, you add a right-handed power bat there, another guy in the pen, and maybe a utility guy, and you could probably go to the World Series, I mean, get close. And then they cut payroll because ownership has poor dealings on outside of their actual ownership of the Twins, from what I'm reading, where they need money, so they sucked it out of the Twins. But you got a small market team, still good talent, even though they didn't add much. I like the Bader move. He's an energy guy, but pitching hasn't been great. Now, I saw this morning, last time through the rotation, they've only given up like 3 runs. So the last week, it was pretty good at the starter. So that's starting to kind of turn. Hitting's been just, you know, the whole hitting, going up there and hitting the first pitch with a guy on third or bases loaded just drives me nuts. You know, we talk about launch angle and how we want to hit the ball over the fence. Well, that's great if you're the Yankees, but you look at the Minnesota Twins lineup, who scares you?
Not a lot right now. I mean, there's a couple guys on paper in theory you would think could be pretty solid, but I mean, Royce Lewis is either hurt or, you know, there's just not a lot of guys right there right now.
Yeah, so I don't know. The whole – does everybody have to go up there and try to hit three home runs a game or can't? Like, the Twins, I heard, worked on bunting all spring training. I don't know how much they use there. They're running more. I mean, I know the game's changed, but not all these MLB teams are put together the same. They're trying with guys that can't play that way, and I don't know. I might be criticized for saying that, but that's just my theory. They've been poor. You know, pitching's good, hitting's bad. Hitting's good.
Yeah.
Starting pitching's okay, then the bullpen blows it, or defense. And I think losing Royce Lewis, he's their energy guy. It's a rough start. You know, they played well yesterday. I'm hoping they kind of get her going now.
Yeah, right there with you. Like we talked about before we jumped on here, we're not necessarily Twins fans, but we're certainly pulling them for him, being the flagship station for him here on FSA. But appreciate you doing this as always, Tommy, and good luck going forward here. Good luck to the Twins, and thanks for being a part of the program today. We really appreciate it.
Yep, see you, and go Twins.
And go Twins indeed. We'll see how they play here today against the likes of the New York Mets. 6:40 for your first pitch slated for tonight on FSA. And, you know, Tommy Two Guns can go for minutes, maybe even hours. We should do that, like, in the off season, just a straight-up pod with Tommy talking Twins. That could be must-listen-to pod stuff.
No doubt about it. He loves his Twins. He's not happy about what he's seen.
I don't know if anybody is.
And
you know?
No, no one's really happy, including myself. And you've mentioned it. We're not the biggest Twins fans. But
we're rooting for him.
They're just not playing good baseball right now. He kind of talked about it when we were talking with him. They do one thing right, the one thing wrong. It's never consistent. And that's been the biggest problem this year with the Twins. They'll get a good pitching outing, and they can't score any runs. But, yeah, no, talking to Tommy about the Twins, it's fun. We'll have to do that for sure, too, have a show dedicated with him about the Twins.
Muskrats are off to a good start, though. We'll certainly take all that, no question about it. Coming up next on the show, we've got your Aberdeen Wings Weekly, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned.
Welcome to another edition of Wings Weekly. I'm Aaron Smith, joined, as always, by head coach, general manager, Scott Langer. Scott, thanks for being here. Just going to jump right into the previous weekend. Obviously, it feels like it's saying this the last several weeks, but a big weekend here at the ODI Center. Able to get a home sweep of North Iowa and clinch a playoff spot. Teddy Bears on Friday night and Jersey Auction Saturday. So an all-around big weekend here at the ODI. Friday night, 6-2 win. Bryce Johnson gets the wings on the board early, makes the Teddy Bears fly just 4-4 into the game. North Iowa able to tie the game a few minutes later. Jibber Cool with his 17th of the season once again gives the Wings some momentum late in the first period to take a 2-1 lead into the first intermission. Ryder Mini Gray Horses gets the only goal of the second, his 15th of the season. Johnson gets his second of the game, 15th of the season. In the third, Lilson would get his 15th of the season. A few minutes later, North Iowa ends up getting another goal, and then Tishkovich ends it with an empty net goal, giving the Wings a 6-2 Friday win and clinching a spot for the eighth consecutive season in the Robertson Cup playoffs. Cunningham, solid in net again, stopping 38 of the 40 shots he faced, ending the regular season with 21 wins. Power play went 2-for-6. Kind of give us a thought on your overall thought of the performance on Friday night.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always some anxiety when you have the Teddy Bear toss, you know, and everybody wants to score it. So you always hope that it comes early and it doesn't go way into the game. And good thing, yeah, with Bryce, he did a great job there and got us on the board early and sent us with some confidence. Obviously, I thought our specialty teams were pretty decent. It was just a good game. You know, they came out hard. They came out skating really, really hard against us. And, you know, they're a high-volume shot team, and they certainly put a lot of shots on the board. And I think they outchanced us there on Friday night, but we made a few more plays and we were able to score a few more goals.
Yeah, I was going to mention, I know every year the Teddy Bear toss comes with a lot of stress, guys holding their sticks a little tighter, as we've talked about in previous years. But then you throw in the possibility of clinching a playoff spot. And I know you don't like to, but the fans and us in general are watching the Watertown St. Cloud game a little bit too. So just kind of the relief of scoring that early goal, Teddy Bears come flying, that's over with. And then kind of building the lead up in the second and especially early on in the third. Is that just kind of a weight off the shoulders with a lot of that kind of happening, knowing that, okay, this is done now onto this and got a pretty good shot at holding onto this 4-goal lead here. So is that just kind of a stress reliever?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, obviously our goal was to win that game and not worry about anything that, you know, St. Cloud was doing on their side. So I don't think any of us had any knowledge of what was going on. So our focus was those 2 points against North Iowa. And, you know, as the game went on, we just got better and better. We finished really well down the stretch of that game. So, we did what we had to do. You know, winning the last nine in a row to find yourself in a playoff spot. So we wanted to finish the weekend the right way. You know, we didn't want to go into the playoffs on a sour note with dropping a game. And I thought our guys did a great job with that.
Yeah, then Saturday, same results, a little bit differently how we got there. North Iowa able to get the lone goal the first period. All wings in the second period getting goals from McDonough, Johnson again, and Tishkovich. The third was more the same as Keaton Weiss gets his first NHL goals, Midas his ninth, Moxham his 21st. North Iowa was able to add a goal late. Braun and net stopping 36 of the 38 shots he faced to end his season with 13 wins. What are your thoughts on Saturday's performance?
Yeah, really good, especially after the first period. First period, I thought we were a little sleepy. The energy level just wasn't where it needed to be at. Obviously, we discussed that between periods, and I thought once we got back out there in the second period, the energy level was certainly back up, and you know we went back to playing wings hockey and got some timely goals to get us back and get us back in the game, and then we got the big goal there to get us back tied up, and then we got the two to go ahead, and that allowed our guys to settle in and just play good hockey. And I just thought all weekend our guys, besides the first period of the second night, our guys had energy both nights and, they played hard and they played the win.
Yeah, and, I mean, able to clinch a spot, you mentioned this earlier, clinch a spot Friday night, so you're able to rest some players who might need a little recovery time. How good was it to see some of these guys stepping up that maybe don't get the chance as often or play on the first line, second line every night? So what were your thoughts on them kind of stepping up and getting that weekend sweep?
Yeah, I mean, there's guys that definitely had their minutes go way up on Saturday, which is always a nice thing for them. But, they all contributed, which was good. Some of them had were in minutes that they're not used to, being in certain situations, and they handled them really well. I mean, you see Keaton Weiss get his first. I thought he played an excellent hockey game. And McDonough's another guy there that's been just growing up as we watch him throughout the season. And he's had a real good second half of the year. So, Braun and Nett. Braun did a great job. Had a great game, gave us a chance to win, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about Bryce Johnson. Had 3 goals, 1 assist on the weekend, sent the Teddy Bears flying on Friday night. Just kind of talk about his development since he's arrived here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you get traded and you come to a new environment, there's some figuring out to do. I thought Bryce did a really good job coming in here right away and just going to work. Like, he's a hard-working kid. And now I think you're seeing, the time of the year that's critical and why we did bring a guy like Bryce in. He's putting up points and he's doing big things. He's killing penalties. He's on the power play. He's really contributing, with everything we got going on here. So, yeah, big weekend for Bryce. I think he ended up with 4 points. I think he was a +4 or +5 game-winning goal. Teddy Bear toss goal. Can't ask for much more.
Definitely. And then this time of year, obviously it's important to be playing your best hockey. You're coming into the playoffs, which we'll talk about in a minute here, but on a 9-game winning streak, obviously that's what you want. Just the last couple of weeks, obviously it's been trying to win each and every game. So just the way your team has responded to that and been able to perform winning 9 straight, what's that been like going into the playoffs? Obviously you're very familiar with that and want to be playing this quality of hockey at the right time.
Yeah. Well, all 9 of those games were must wins. in reality, you know, because we didn't know what was ahead for St. Cloud. So we had to win the game. So I think when you put your players in a must-win situation and they rise to the occasion, I think that's great going into the playoffs, because now you're in a best-of-five series where you have to win three and you have to win, you know, especially going in there to start the series on the road. And, I mean, let's face it, you know, they're the best team in the entire league. They were crowned the President's Trophy. So, you know, we got the top team, you know, we're the underdog, which is fine. But I think our guys are in a position right now where they know that they can compete with any team in this league. And, you know, we're going to go in there and we're going to give them everything we got.
Yeah, quick look at the final Central Division standings in the North American Hockey League. Bismarck, as you mentioned, on top, 96 points, winning the Central Division, winning the President's Cup. Austin Bruins able to get 89 points. They're in second. They will face Minot, who ends up with 81. Aberdeen with 72 in the fourth and final playoff spot. After that, St. Cloud ends with 67 points. Watertown able to jump North Iowa with the win on Friday night, and then us sweeping North Iowa this weekend. So Watertown moves to 45 in sixth place, and North Iowa drops to seventh in 44, and the Mallards at 24. As you mentioned, upcoming Central Division games, Central Division semifinals, best of five series will be at Bismarck April 18th and 19th, 7:15 puck drop. Back at the OD for a guaranteed game three, April 25th. Game four would be at the OD as well, Saturday, April 26th, if necessary. And then a potential game five would be Monday, the 28th. That would be back in Bismarck. You kind of mentioned it before. Right now, this is two of the hottest teams in the NHL right now going in this season series. We've won 9 straight. They've won 13 straight. But we haven't seen them since February 22nd. What are you expecting them to be this weekend?
Well, I think they're going to be the same team. They've stayed the course, you know, throughout the entire season. They've pretty much stuck to what they're good at. And, you know, they're obviously a very veteran-laden team, you know, with the amount of 20-year-olds they have over there. So they have guys that know how to win, and you got guys that want to win. And, you know, it's going to be a hard series. You know, we expect that. But they're a good hockey team, and especially at home. You know, they win a lot of games at home in front of that crowd, and they, you know, they're tough to handle. So, but for us, I think it's just worrying about us, worry about what we can control, you know, making sure our emotions are in check, and give yourself a chance every single shift to win the game.
Yeah, and I mean, going into that, like you kind of mentioned, it's almost a tale of two different seasons, really. We've been the one seed and gotten beat. We've been the four seed and beaten the one seed. We've had 11-game winning streak going into the playoffs and gotten swept out of the first round. It's just kind of a whole different animal. Obviously, you want to be have home ice whenever possible, but what does the mindset have to change when you go from a regular season to a playoff? Obviously, it's more important. The season is shrunk down into 5 games, and like you said, you have to win 3 of them. But what does the mindset have to be as far as the players go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every little tiny mistake will add up in a playoff game. You know, there's the bounces, you know, things just seem to get really tight between the two teams. Obviously, you're only preparing for the one team. You're not having to worry about preparing each, you know, every other weekend for a different team. So, you know, you get to know each other really well. But you have to be in a good headspace, and you got to understand that everything matters. Everything that you do on the ice is either going to contribute to success, or it's going to be, you know, against what we're trying to do. So, you know, when those guys jump the boards, they have to go out there. You know, you can't take bad penalties. You got to make sure you're blocking shots in timely, you know, in a timely fashion. You know, all those little things that we've talked about and has accumulated in this locker room throughout the entire season, that all that stuff comes into play. And, you know, now it's time just to let your game take over. And, you know, I think the guys with the most competitive nature are the guys that thrive in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing up in Bismarck this weekend, and then back at the OD the following Friday for sure. The other series in the Central will be the 2-seed Austin Bruins against the 3-seed Minot. Those two teams have played each other as recently as 3 weeks. They had 4 straight games not too long ago. They have completely split their season 4-4, so that could go either way. Austin does have the home ice advantage there. Once again, this weekend's NHL Robertson Cup playoff Central Division semifinals for the eighth consecutive season at Bismarck this Friday and Saturday. You can watch on NHLTV.com. Listen on 94.1 The Rock. Next weekend, we're back here for sure Friday, April 25th. Tickets available now at tickets.aberdeenwings.com and later this week at any of the Sea Express locations in Aberdeen. Scott, thanks for taking some time to speak with us again.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and Ryan will be right back with Finn.
Welcome back to the second portion of Wings Weekly. Joining me this week is Finn Safer. Finn, you're from Whitefish, Montana. And for those that don't know, Whitefish is like a beautiful Hallmark movie touristy town. Is it as beautiful as it looks? Like, explain to the listeners and the watchers, like, what your hometown truly is like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's pretty gorgeous, honestly. It's a tourist spot. Like, there's all sorts of tourists that come, and you know, I'm right next to Glacier Park, which is the national park there. It's just mountains, lakes, everything. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful.
I've been through briefly, never actually stopped.
Really?
And like done anything there. Do you do the skiing and the snowboarding in the wintertime and all that?
Not as much as I used to, but I'll go snowboarding, mm-hmm. you know, a couple times a year in the winter. So.
Mm-hmm. And obviously earlier in the season, we mic'd you up, but for those that are probably like listening on the radio station right now, explain how you first got into hockey, because you have a pretty unique story.
Yeah, I was actually playing soccer, and my coach at the time was also the hockey coach, and she talked to me and my dad and just, you know, wanted me to come out and see if I liked it, and I did. I tried it. I had no idea, you know, first one in my family to play hockey. Both my parents are from California, so it was pretty pretty new. But, yeah, loved it. Went out with some motorcycle pants and, you know, like a bike helmet, just looking bad. But, loved it, so.
Mm-hmm. And before coming here with the Wings, you spent a season down in Sioux Falls with the Sioux Falls Power. So you spent some time in South Dakota. You got acclimated to the climate here and everything. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it was good. Sioux Falls was great. I love Sioux Falls. I had good billets there. It was a good year for us as a team. And yeah, definitely used to the South Dakota being cold. You know, Montana's cold too, so pretty used to it.
Not too different
no.
in that aspect.
Yep.
More mountains out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, definitely a lot flatter here, but it's I love it. So.
And when you tendered to Aberdeen, what were you most excited about when you knew that you were going to be coming here for the season?
I mean, it's a great organization. I've heard nothing bad about it. Everything's, you know, just from the fans to the ownership to even the locker room. It's just all done really well. It's pretty professional. So.
Mm-hmm. The crazy part was that when I woke up this morning and checked my phone, it was like a year ago today you had hit the ice for the first time in a Wings jersey. So fun fact for you. Yep. We were down in North Iowa.
Yep.
But so it's actually a full circle moment for you to be on the show today.
Yep.
1 year. Now though, being here in Aberdeen and having a full now regular season under your belt, what has been your favorite thing about playing here in Aberdeen and being here in Aberdeen?
I mean, I think coming from AAA hockey where you're kind of traveling, you know, all over flying with not like a real fan base, I think it's pretty cool to, you know, even if, you know, obviously at home we have great fans that, you know, come every night to support us, but even, you know, away games, just all the fans, and it's pretty cool to play with that environment of people just loving the game, loving the Central Division. So I think that's probably the coolest part for me.
Mm-hmm. Taking a step away from hockey for a few questions here too. We have to grill you, of course.
Yep.
Nothing too hard, but if you could go to any concert of your choice right now, who would it be? And you can pick a couple if you can't absolutely narrow it down. But
I mean, I would probably, I'm a big fan of Chris Stapleton, I would say. Throw him in there, maybe Mount Joy, if you know.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Well, I like them. They got some good stuff. Definitely Chris Stapleton, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
I feel like him live.
Summertime.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Noah Kahn at like Red Rocks would be like
really,
really good. Okay. this is also a popular question on this show, but like build your last meal from beginning to end. What would it be? Drinks, appetizers, main course, dessert.
I would probably start with some of my mom's chili. Yeah, my mom makes some good chili, so start with that. I think can't go wrong with a medium rare steak with some mashed potatoes, maybe some fries, some A1 steak sauce on that.
Cooked right, you don't need steak sauce.
Yeah. But and then to finish with some dessert, I'd probably that's a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of good options, really. Mm-hmm. Any dessert. I like pumpkin pie a lot. It's kind of seasonal, but maybe some pumpkin pie with some whipped cream. Mm-hmm. Finish it off.
I like that choice.
Yeah.
Okay. You get to go on your dream vacation. Where are you going? And which couple teammates are you taking with you, if you even want? You guys have spent so much time together at this point. Like, do you even want
I would probably...
But you just clinched playoffs, so maybe you do want to celebrate and take.
No, I'll take a couple. I would probably, I mean, this is pretty basic, but I've never been to Hawaii, so I feel like that's a bucket list kind of, you know, like people do that. Mm-hmm. And if I had to pick a couple guys to come with, I would probably say definitely not Jack. We're going to leave him here. I see him enough. But I'll probably take Coop, you know, Coop, Briggs, maybe Moose, Goose.
Okay.
A couple of those guys. You know, Bron. Bron's a good option. But definitely not Jack.
Are you seeing a common theme on this show where it's like...
It's every week, honestly.
Also, a couple weeks ago, you were featured on 2 Minutes in the Box. And you guys played tabletop pickleball. Someone on Facebook left a comment that you were playing a little mild.
Yeah.
And that you play a ruthless knee hockey game.
Yes.
What do you think they were referring to?
Well, that was actually my billet mom from last year. So shout out the Peterson family. Lynn, you guys are awesome. But yeah, she was just, I feel like she was pretty disappointed with my performance. You know, I was disappointed with my performance. You know, but Back was a mean pickleball player, so we give hat off to him. But we played a lot of mini hockey or mini sticks last year with her son. Shout out Lucas. But yeah, got pretty crazy sometimes.
Yeah. So you're pretty so good at knee hockey, bad at pickleball.
You could say that.
So the answer to my next question is that you did not let Back win tabletop pickleball.
No, I won't. No. He played a good game.
Okay.
Gotta give it to him.
Okay. So back to this weekend's game, clinching for the 8th straight season. Hi, Joey.
Joseph.
Clinching for the 8th straight season and on Teddy Bear Toss night. Before going into that game, though, what was the mood in the locker room? I don't know if you were listening, but Aaron and Langer were kind of talking about how, you know, even before, you know, talks of playoffs, Teddy Bear Toss Night is always kind of a high anxiety game because everyone wants to score it, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you add playoffs in there too, you know, the possibility of clinching and whatnot. You know, everyone's kind of gripping their sticks a little bit tight. So what was the mood in the locker room like?
I mean, I just think everyone's pretty excited. I mean, it's a fun game to play in. You know, everyone wants that goal to be able to have that, be the guy to – set all the bears on the ice, but I think it's just everyone's excited, you know, important games down the stretch and, you know, really important games. So I think we're all pretty dialed in, but excited at the same time for the Teddy Bear Toss.
Mm-hmm. And then not only getting the Teddy Bear Toss or the Teddy Bears to fly, you know, 5 minutes into the first period, clinching playoffs and Frosties for everyone in the Odie. Yeah. You know, what was the mood in the locker room like after that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game, great night. I mean, everything went well pretty much. So, shout out Beej for the Teddy Bear Toss goal and free Frosties for everyone.
We've seen teams, you know, get to this point in the season and kind of are just ready to go home, right? Never really happened to the Wings, but other teams, like in leagues, in different leagues and whatnot. Instead, this team is here, you know, on a maintenance day, is working. Yep. Pretty much everyone in the locker room is like out on the ice or in the gym working out. What does that say about this team's work ethic at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how the end of our season went. I think we won 9 straight. I mean, everyone here wants playoffs. You know, we're here on a Monday. You know, pretty much the whole team's here putting that work in. So, you know, I'm excited to see what we do in playoffs. I think we can, you know, turn a lot of heads here and make a big impact. So I'm pretty excited.
And then, like Langer and Aaron were talking about too, the Wings and the Bobcats facing each other just like last year. Two of some of the hottest teams in the NA right now. Mm-hmm. They've won 13 straight to make their go into their playoff run. We've won 9 straight to make our playoff run. What are going to be some keys to this best of 5 playoff run?
I mean, yeah, just – I mean, honestly, just keep playing the way we have. You know, we've been on a hot streak, so just – you know, being ready, you know, mentally, physically, you know, first games in Bismarck's going to be loud, a lot of horns and whatnot. So I think just keeping our heads, you know, playing the right way. Yeah, just not giving in to the, you know, extra stuff after the whistle and, you know, keep our heads and just play the way we want.
And then looking forward to coming back to the OD, right?
Yeah, no, that's going to be great. You know, I know you guys are going to pack the OD, so I'm pretty excited for that. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. All right, like we said, upcoming games, NHL Central Division semifinals is a best-of-5 series. This weekend, the boys will be at Bismarck April 18th and 19th with a 7:15 p.m. puck drop. Watch on NHLTV.com, listen on 94.1 The Rock, HubCityRadio.com, or The Rock app. Next home games is versus Bismarck Bobcats, Game 3, Friday, April 25th. Tickets available now at tickets.aberdeenwings.com or later this week at any Sea Express locations in Aberdeen. If necessary, Game 4 will be Saturday, April 26th at the Odie. And like we said, if necessary, Game 5 would be Monday, April 28th at Bismarck. Sponsorships and reserve season tickets are now available for the 2025-2026 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. And for all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit aberdeenwings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Like we said, Finn Safer, thank you so much for joining us on this week's Wings Weekly.
Yep, thanks for having me.
And that'll wrap things up.
And that is indeed today's installment of Wings Weekly on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Colin Cowherd is coming up at the top of the hour. Certainly a big weekend for the Wings going forward here, as the Wings will be on the road in Bismarck, 7:15 for your puck drop on Friday and Saturday night on 94.1 The Rock with Cy Evanuk on the play-by-play. One thing is for sure, Game 3 will be back at the ODI Center next Friday. That'll be on the 25th of April. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to this weekend's games there in Bismarck and rooting on the Wings on 94.1 The Rock. We'll talk bourbon and brews from Northern State University tomorrow, as Nate Davis and Lacey Hedick, they'll be joining us live in studio. That's tomorrow right here on FSA. A Wolves Midweek installment of the Sports Hub tomorrow on Fox Sports Aberdeen.